Welcome back to Factory Sealed. It is February 7th, 2013. I am Eric Peterson, and joining me tonight is Aaron Robison from the snowy Minnesota land.
Hello.
Jess Clarkson. Oh, is it, did I hear Fury in the background again?
That's Fry.
Fry. Oh, he's making an appearance this show.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. We got Jess Clarkson here, too.
Yes.
And
you didn't screw up the intro this time. I'm so happy for myself.
I half expected it to happen, to be honest. But
it's really hard to just sit there and not say anything.
Well, maybe I could give you guys all the intro music and we could listen to it together. We could have our second countdown in a row.
Yeah. No.
Joining us, special guest from Edmonton. Some of you may know this guy. Good old Kevin Byers joining us.
Hey, Factory Sealed listeners. All seven of you.
That was a very...
Four of which are doing the show right now.
Hey, gotta take...
Welcome to the show!
Gotta take the three you can get. That was a very formal intro for you, though. I was expecting something a little bit more ignorant.
I'm not an ignorant person, Eric. I'm deeply resentful of the fact that you said that.
Motherfucker! Oh, God. So,
look like this guy.
This is our first time going back-to-back weeks. We're trying to get into this groove of going weekly. It's going to be tough. You guys got anything insightful from the past week? Anything fun happen?
Some jackass hit my car and then just drove off.
Did you see him hit it?
Nope.
Just...
But... It wasn't there when I went into work, and then when I opened the store, I saw I had a big old scrape on the front of my car.
That's...
I wasn't very happy about that.
Okay, I got to share. You told me before everybody else got on that you took some painkillers. So
I did.
I'm assuming that's why you're so lethargic.
Well, yeah, the painkiller has me lethargic. It finally cut up to me, and I'm a little out of it.
Are you going to be able to make it?
I'm hoping so.
We're going to find you passed out halfway through the show.
That may happen. We'll see. I gotta kick somebody's ass in the Little Mermaid first, and then we'll go.
You weren't even in your car when it got hit. How are you in pain?
Well,
Don't tell his insurance company that.
It was just because I slept. We're boarding these two dogs like we had last week. And, one of them... drives my other dog a little crazy, so he was going nuts. So I had to sleep upstairs on the couch, and I just slept wrong. So not a very exciting story, but
wait. So hold on, you're boarding dogs, and you didn't even get to sleep in your own bed.
That's right.
Why? Because all the
my dog was freaking out, and I had to take care of my dog.
Just throw it outside.
Yeah, not when it's like -30 outside.
I figured it was because he was letting the border dog sleep in his bed like a good
host. No.
That would
no,
be
not
sweet.
At all. Not that. Just that he likes to be able to go play, so we have to kennel the one dog because one guy's still a puppy. So he just eats whatever he can get his hands on. So we have to gate him off, and my dog doesn't like being gated off. So what my dog will do then is he'll come to my side of the bed and literally just paw at me until he got get out of bed. Like, he'll just go, and they'll make like a whining noise, and paw at me, just so I can get up to let him up upstairs, and then he's chill out again. So, yeah, that's the life of Aaron Robinson right there.
You should have just gone with what Kev said. You just decided to let all the dogs sleep on your bed, and are you charged? Like, you could charge for that.
I should maybe do that.
You just say, I will let your dogs sleep in my bed, $50 a night. There's got to be a market for that.
Maybe.
I don't think it'll be a very big market.
No, but you corner those niche markets, and that's how people become overnight billionaires.
Pretty sure it's niche.
Niche.
Pretty sure?
Yeah, I'm not a French douche.
Neither
like
am I.
Like an American douche.
Yeah. Is niche even a French word? I have no idea.
Sounds like it could be.
Okay.
So I thought it was a niche.
Let's just go with that. We could defer to Kev. He's our Canadian French expert.
All right, so we'll just wipe out that last story. We'll go with I took my bike out in the middle of winter,
oh.
And that hurt my back.
Okay, because you dumped your motorcycle again.
Dumped my motorcycle in the snow.
Why do all of our stories revolve around you injuring yourself?
That's my life.
Yeah.
I'm like the evil Knievel of the factory sealed world.
It is what it is. So, I don't know. I was having a relatively good weekend. And actually, it's not weekend. What the fuck day is it? It's Thursday.
It's Thursday, man.
Yep.
God, that's what
work. You don't work, so every day is a weekend.
I do. It's kind of work. It's work from home on a computer calling students. It's tough.
Your life is so rough.
I had to throw some legal speak around yesterday to get out of something, and it got me out of it, but I don't want to go too far into detail in case they listen.
Yeah. Cut on then.
No, it was them trying to pull something on me, and I said, that's not legal, and then they backed off.
Uh-huh.
So.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess, working from home, you just kind of lose track of what day it is. But woke up, had a pretty good day, and then I stumbled upon this game online. And, Kev, I was telling you about this a little earlier, and have you heard of this new, I'm going to use the term, as much as we hate it, indie game?
Ooh.
Called Actual Sunshine?
I have never heard of it, no.
It was, I don't remember where I stumbled upon it, but somebody had posted something and said the whole point of this game is to not commit suicide. So, it's like that Flash game called Don't Shit Your Pants. Have you played that one?
Also, no.
I'm gonna digress for a second. Don't Shit Your Pants is a web-based Flash game where you're just like this purple creature being standing in the hallway next to a closed door, and all you can do is type in commands and hit enter. And the whole point of the game is to not shit your pants. You have to figure out how to get to the toilet and crap in the toilet. And 90% of what you type in will cause you to shit your pants.
So it's called Actual Sunshine?
Yeah, the game I'm talking about is called Actual Sunshine. So
you have way too much time on your hands, Eric.
Seriously.
I think you're crazy.
I feel like you don't work at all.
Okay.
You're crazy because I'm looking for this game and it's...
Which one? Actual Sunshine?
Someone doesn't exist.
Actual Sunshine?
Yeah.
I will also search for this.
ActualSunshine.com, I believe, is the website. Maybe not. No, it's not. I know it exists because I'm freaking playing it right now. Where did I download it from? I have no idea where I downloaded it from then. Anyways, I've got this game. It's called
Actual... There's not even a Google search for it, man.
Yeah, I know. You must have the game name wrong.
No, it's Actual Sunshine. Here's the... There's a YouTube video for it. I'll have to find the link for it and send it to you.
Are you sure it's not just a video of a guy with a World of Warcraft guy and his girlfriend came over and said, look, this is the sun. This is Actual Sunshine. And then that's like...
No, I'm positive. Let me give you a breakdown of this game, because I went into it thinking, hey, this is going to be kind of a bright, sunshiny game, until I heard the whole point of it is don't commit suicide. And it's basically this 30-some-odd-year-old programmer who was super depressed and down on life decided he wanted to do something significant to kind of portray his life. So he built this game as a portrait of his life. And it's just like the most dark, depressing, just life-shattering shit you could possibly be experiencing. You're just this guy that's in this apartment, and everything that you can interact with everything, and everything just has this super negative, your life is worthless type of vibe. You've done nothing in your life to accomplish anything. And then it kind of like drops these subtle hints down below, like, don't go to the roof. And then it's like, boy, I got to go to work. And like a couple minutes later, you'd be like, really, don't go to the roof. So me, being the curious gamer, goes up to the roof, and you stand next to the cliff. He's like, God, I should really go to work today. And it's just the whole point of this game is make sure you don't commit suicide by the end of the day.
Seems like it would be really easy.
Did you win?
I did. I put a half an hour into it, and I made it out of my apartment.
Wow.
Does it just, like, distract you from doing everything? Or...
It's just a ton of writing. It's actually kind of neat how it's done, because it's this guy that is revealing all of this stuff that's happened in his life through the text in the game, and like you'll interact with your nightstand, and there'll be a Sony ebook reader on there, and he goes through this really long backstory about how he wanted to be an author and how everything just got really shitty for him, and there's not one positive thing in this game. Everything you touch and read just makes you want to just go up to the roof and jump off.
Is it Suicide Mob game?
No, it's called Actual Sunshine.
Okay, I'm just trying to find it here, and it's the only one that came up. It said Suicide Bob game.
I don't know where I found it. Maybe I could just give you guys the downloader, and it'll be like one of those games that we just circulate the old-fashioned way. So no, you definitely got to play it, because it'll totally make you feel better about your own life.
I feel that way just talking to you right now.
Yeah, I'm with Aaron.
So that's one game that I play this week. So what, we should just dive right into this. What's the stuff that we decided to tackle this week?
I'm getting really frustrated, though, trying to find this game on Google, and I can't. Like, I feel like my Google superpowers are failing me, and that's really annoying.
Well, you know what? Now that I think about it, I found it through Kotaku. They had something on there about this game, and they're like, more games need to delve into this type of stuff. And I typed in Actual Sunshine Kotaku, and I can't find it. It's got to be there. I'm not making this up, because I played half an hour of it today, unless I was just in some sort of drug-induced high.
I was going to say, have you been taking Aaron's meds?
I have not been in Kev's garage.
Yeah, I'm going to... It's got to be Suicide Bob, because no, it I is typed not... in Google Search video game where the point is to not commit suicide, and the only thing that came up is...
Okay, let me show you the...
Whoa,
If you type in Actual Sunshine Game, it's by Strike Games. There's a YouTube video. Let me see if this has the link to download it. No, it doesn't. Son of a bitch.
Oh, I see a YouTube video now that I know it actually exists.
That's the game. It actually exists. I don't know where I found it, though.
You found it on YouTube? I still haven't been able to find it on YouTube. I've typed in Strike Games. I've typed in... Oh, there's a message.
The only game on strikegames.net is called Final Rush.
Strike Games Actual Sunlight Part 1.
Oh, it's Actual Sunlight.
Sunlight.
ActualSunlight.com. I'm sorry.
Way to fuck that one up.
Wow. I'm just going to go back through that whole last segment and just like overdub Sunlight on top of it.
There's so many things for it.
Yeah, had I just gotten the name right, we would have completely avoided this whole debacle. Yeah, download it, play it, feel better about yourself. That's the short, the long and short of it. All right, so we have Kev on the show this week for one reason and one reason alone. Well, I should say one reason, many reasons, but... I made a passing comment a couple shows ago on MDP about the most embarrassing game I played as a child being The Little Mermaid. And you actually made me feel better about my childhood by backing me up and saying that game was awesome.
That game was awesome.
I enjoy playing it.
Yeah, and I was terrified that going back to it, it was going to be one of those games where, like, this fucking sucks. I gotta tell you something. It stood up. It stood the test of time pretty well. You all got a chance to hopefully beat it.
Yes.
Yes.
Easily.
Let's get a range here. How long did it take people?
I don't even know. I just lost myself in the amazing story.
You mean the first 30 seconds and then the last 8 seconds?
Do you guys remember what your score was? Because I had like 60,000 points.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I do not. I remember I got between 8 and 12,000 points every level. There were 5 levels, I believe, and then there was the last boss battle.
I think, Aaron, you kind of ruined it for me at the beginning, though, because before I even started playing, you sent me a message saying, yeah, there's so many things to unlock, but they don't do anything. You can just swim through it. So the first time I played it, I just powered through the game and just swam past absolutely everything.
got to the bosses, beat them, and I think I was done with the game in like 16, 17 minutes.
Oh, you played it again that way?
That's the only time I played it was that way.
Oh. Well, I think you said it took you about a little over an hour the first time I talked to you about it.
Like, there's so many things.
Yeah, there's a lot. I just got tired because I was like, for one, I was getting frustrated because I kept trying to get those stupid, every time I was trying to bring those stupid seashells into those secret spots to get those unlockable ones. Like some, I would always.
It was kind of dumb though, because every time you got one of those and then you died or you got injured, you lost all that stuff.
Yeah, you lost your.
Yeah, so that was what pissed me off, because then I would like get it and then I'd go to the next screen and then like the blowfish would like get me, you know, when I wasn't paying attention. And
I failed at trying to throw it. That was what killed me.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever figure out what the blue orbs did? Because the red ones, or the purple ones, or whichever way you look at it, they powered up your bubbles.
And the other one gave you
longer range.
It was a range of the bubbles, how far you could shoot it.
No, that's totally not true.
There was two things. There's one for power and one for range.
Play it, and then hit the start button, and it'll show you which one does what. It says power and range.
Yeah, you hit the select button, and it also tells you your points, and it had a range and power.
Really? Oh.
I don't even bother pressing start in those old NES games thinking there's going to be a menu. I'm just like, hey, it's just going to freeze the screen and make it a little darker.
Yeah, I never paused either. I thought it made me swim faster.
No.
I guess that wasn't true.
No, because I learned how to swim. I just swam fast. I held down the one button that didn't do anything.
Yeah, it was
I'm using a 360 controller here, so I don't know which button was connected to what, but I think I was using that B button, I think, originally.
Yeah, it must have been B-Swim.
B-Swim.
Yeah.
So, this, I don't know, I'm playing it on my PSP now, and the colors look a little different, but I'm kind of wondering why her hair had to be purple. Because they're showing it in the I guess you could call it the cutscene at the beginning, and her hair is bright-ass red. Why couldn't they just take that color and drop it into the game?
That was weird for me. I think the first time I played it, it was more red. But then, I don't know what happened.
Maybe it had to do with the emulator you used, because my color was red the whole time.
Oh, like, nope. Right now I'm looking at it. The hearts up top are purple. Her hair is dark-ass purple. Everything's purple.
So much purple.
And the orbs are purple. I think everything's purple.
Just trying to bypass the... Here we go.
Oh, there we go. Let's see. The fast swim button.
Yeah, I'm purple.
Yeah.
Are you guys all playing it right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. We're just testing it again. I don't know. I was trying to think again of the level that brought me back to my childhood. And I think it was the first Ursula boss that you're under the sea. Well, obviously you're under the sea. But
they did a whole song and dance about it.
They should have used that phrase in one of the songs. But
wait, have you never seen The Little Mermaid?
Oh, of course I have.
Okay,
where the priest gets the boner? Yeah, we all know.
That did not happen. It's his knee.
Jess, come
We're
on.
We're not tainting this. For
come
me.
On,
Little Mermaid
you are
is
not...
my favorite.
I will send you a picture right now of the Little Mermaid boner.
It is his knee. It's the priest's knee.
Okay, you might argue that it was the knee, but in Triton's castle underground, all of those pillars were flat-out giant erections.
And I had the bed sheets.
Well, there's actually one, the original VHS cover. Here, I'll send you the picture.
Yeah,
right
I have
now.
The VHS cover that has the penis on it. This the poster one, that I have in my office has a penis on it. My bed sheets
right
have penises
there.
On them.
I mean, that is just a huge throbbing phallic symbol. Like, it's even got the vein in it.
I know. That's the one I have. That's the one I slept on. This is really weird.
Oh, man. That's more information I need to know about
so,
you.
So, I guess... knowing childhood. that is on the cover so blatantly, why are you trying to defend the fact that Prince Eric had... That's his name, right?
No, it wasn't Prince Eric. It was the priest that
oh, yeah, it was.
Has the knee issue.
That's not his knee. That is absolutely not his knee. Are you going to try to tell me now that the Lion King didn't spell sex in the dust?
No, I totally don't care about The Lion King.
Oh, okay.
And that was just a coincidence.
Just kicked it up, and it was just, they just hit randomly generate on the animation and just spelled sex.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the early forms of Kapchka.
Were there any other Disney movies that had a lot of Demon. Sexual innuendo in them?
I'm pretty sure every single one of them did.
Okay, Jess, here, going back to the priest thing. That is an original lined up next to one of the remastered editions. Why would they take it out if it was his knee?
Because of controversy.
Jess, it's his boner.
Whatever. Whatever.
Unfortunately, this game was devoid of any and all boners.
Well, look.
Maybe for you.
What version are you playing?
That felt awkward.
That actually wasn't in the game.
Oh. Just the whole time, huh?
That's why it took me so long to finish.
This went downhill quick. So, did it live up to your expectations from your childhood, though, Jess?
Yeah.
That's it? Just a yeah?
No, yeah. Well, no, it did.
No yeah. Profound thoughts?
Not so much.
I mean, we hyped this one up pretty high.
Well, I just love everything The Little Mermaid.
Kev said he could talk all day about The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I don't want to take up his time. Did I say
that? I'm pretty sure you said something to that effect.
When you guys were playing, did you guys notice that you could dig in the sand and get extra stuff that way?
What?
Extra hearts.
I thought most of it took place on the coral. How do you dig in the sand?
Because there's little spots with a little sand in it that you can
kick. Oh, it's not just anywhere. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, it was only in certain areas.
Parts of the coral.
I feel like I kind of got cheated on this because I just rushed through it.
Well, whose fault was that?
You probably didn't even get any of the forks and the pipes.
No, what were you calling those, like, snoodle bobbers and sniffle toes?
Well, because in Little Mermaid, she finds them and she brings them up to Scuttle. And then they're Dinglehopper and Snarfblats. The Dinglehoppers are the forks, and she thinks that they're to brush her hair.
Oh, that's
right. So then when she goes to see Prince Eric in his castle, she uses the fork to brush her hair. And the Snorflax, she blows in it thinking it's like a musical instrument, and she blows all the tobacco out, and Prince Eric's, I think it's his, like, butler guy in his face. It's kind of funny.
The fact that you remember... Did you just watch this recently, or do you just have that big of an obsession over Little Mermaid?
All of her hamsters were named Ariel.
Yeah, I know. And I had this doll, like, one of the Little Mermaid dolls that had the pull string on the back, and it would be like, Scuttle will know what this is, and all of the different things.
I don't remember Scuttle. I remember her Cave of Wonders that she sang her stupid song in.
When her dad comes in and he... King Triton just destroys everything. I have to leave the room. I hate that part.
Does that hit a little too home for you?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I named a fish King Triton.
You really are obsessed with the Little Mermaid.
Did you kill it?
No, King Triton died on my birthday, actually. 1 year, it was sad.
Jeez.
And then Sebastian, the hermit crab, we didn't take care of them really well, and they died.
How do you kill a hermit crab? Those things are almost entirely self-sufficient.
No, we got them. Like, we went to the Royal Winter Fair, and they had them for sale. And it was one of those, like, everyone else is buying them, we should too. So we bought them. And I think they lasted, like, a week. And then their limbs started falling off. It was just a bad experience.
Jesus.
What do they eat?
Sugar water and others. I don't know, maybe that's why. I don't really remember feeding them much.
Now are you naturally redheaded?
No. Was like blonde, now I was brown, now I'm henned hair.
All right. Well, I was just curious. Only thing I've seen you have red hair, so I was sure, because that would make you would have a fondness for the Lermit since she was a redhead.
Yeah, I was gonna say
growing up, and you would have had that, like, connection.
No, but I had a Little Mermaid wig. Oh, God, I'm obsessed.
The more you talk, the stranger it seems.
I know.
You're not building yourself a very strong case here.
Yeah.
So, which boss did you guys find to be the hardest?
For me, it was the boss in the ice level, the third level, the walrus.
Really?
I just couldn't get their angle right on throwing that shell up to hit him. It probably took me a good 5 minutes to beat that boss.
Yeah, I remember that was kind of a pain to get that guy, because yeah, you had to get it right at the right time, because otherwise he was too far back sometimes.
I think for me, I just discovered you could throw the bubbles up.
Oh my God!
You didn't know that?
I did not know that. I'm fighting the shark again right now, and this makes it a whole lot easier. Because I was going to say, I had a lot of trouble fighting those eels.
I hated them too.
Because every time I would try to get next to them and then throw it
towards
them.
Well, they disappear. If you get near them, they disappear before they come out.
But they would then reappear where I was standing because they're dicks.
What the hell is this? You can throw up, but you can't throw down?
Yeah,
that's true.
No, then, you
can also throw diagonally.
No, oh my God, you can. This game just became infinitely more enjoyable for me. I'm sure I knew this as an 8-year-old.
Yeah. Things you forget.
Oh well, it's the finer points. This shark battle's a lot easier now that you can throw them up.
Yeah.
No, that walrus one, I didn't think that one was very difficult at all. Maybe you just got lucky and got it on one go.
I thought it was I think the hardest one that I came across was I'd only say it was hard because it was hard right away because I was trying to get the angles right, but it was the seahorse one where he's down in the cannon and then he would shoot, because he wouldn't always shoot the fish, so he would shoot like...
There was kind of an exploit you could do to that, and you could just sit at the top where the second cannon is and just fire your bubbles out, and it'll stop whatever comes out. And then when he shoots a fish out.
That's not an exploit.
That's called utilizing the system.
That's strategy.
Intended. I had max level bubbles at that time, so that was just total easy mode.
See, I had nothing.
Yeah, because you just plowed through it.
I gave up trying to keep my high-powered stuff. Every time I got it up there, for whatever reason, I'd get hit by something and I'd start all over.
So if you got your max power bubbles and then got towards the last level and died, did you lose all of that?
I didn't die, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. I had like 8 lives at the end, too.
I thought you lost it even just for dying once.
Well, yeah, but I didn't.
You're just that OP at this game, huh?
It's the little.
You probably play it all the time.
Yeah, I actually have a tattoo on my chest of the Little Mermaid game. Like, not of the Little Mermaid. It's like a little NES console.
Just with that sitting in, like, little 8-year-old Kev hanging out, giving thumbs up to the camera.
I can totally see it.
Trying to get her to jump out of the water was kind of awkward.
Yeah, she looks like a dead fish. Like, it was kind of bad.
So I read through the Grimm's Fairy Tale version of The Little Mermaid.
Horrible.
And I actually think I would have preferred that version of the game.
So what's the differences?
Everything, basically. In a nutshell, she wants to be with the prince, and in the end, she finds out she has to kill him, and she can't bring herself to do it, so she throws herself back into the ocean and turns into foam and dies.
But, like, can't be with her family either.
Yeah.
Like, she's stuck.
That's really depressing.
I know.
Maybe I'm just on this depressing kick after playing Actual Sunlight.
But when she, like, when she was on the surface... It felt like she was walking on, like, what are those called?
Needles?
Swords.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are those called?
My words have stopped working for a while now. I've just accepted this.
Yeah, most of these Disney stories are pulled from old Hans Christian Andersen, not Hans Christian Andersen, Grimm's Fairy Tales, and people are kind of alarmed to find out just how vile and dark they are. There's got to be a market out there for these types of games.
I'm not too sure. Most people don't want to sit and play a game for 2 hours and then just want to cut themselves to make themselves feel better.
No, the point of actual sunlight isn't for you personally to not kill yourself. I mean, maybe you will at the end of the game, but... yeah. You guys are really low energy tonight.
Yeah, apparently.
Sorry, I'm playing The Little Mermaid.
Will too.
Yeah, I actually had to wake up to make it on time because I had a nap.
Isn't it 7:45?
Yeah, it is.
Who takes? All
right, I'm gonna stop playing.
Who takes naps at night?
I found some more cool stuff.
It wasn't intentional.
I just passed out watching League of Legends.
Actually, that's exactly what happened.
I lived with you for a few days. I know how you are. Jeez.
Now, so I like I said, I really enjoyed The Little Mermaid. I thought it was a fun playthrough. It was worth me playing again just now. I took the time to actually find some of those hidden items in the sand or trying to get the shell to hit the trunks and the little hidden areas where you can throw things in, and then those other little seekers will pop out. So it's kind of fun just to do that.
So
I enjoyed it.
Last week we introduced the concept of people sending in their opinions of the game, and we would read them along or post us talking about it. And we did get one opinion on The Little Mermaid. So
all right,
this but comes, it was so awesome.
Yeah. Oh, totally. This comes from Nick Stevens, and I do believe he was the guy who recommended we do this. So I'm glad he's carrying the torch forward.
He's very happy that we read his question. I remember reading that, too.
Yes. So he says, first of all, thanks for reading my email and taking my suggestion for having us listeners voice our opinions on the games. My wife thinks I'm a huge dork for how excited I was to hear you read my email last week. Now, for my opinion on The Little Mermaid for the NES, I played most of the other Capcom Disney games like DuckTales, Darkwing Duck, and Rescue Rangers. Have you guys played those?
Yes.
I played Rescue Rangers.
Are they as good as The Little Mermaid?
DuckTales is really good. Rescue Rangers, not so much.
Does DuckTales start out with you playing as the three ducks and you're in that big vault of money?
No, I think that's the Super Nintendo version.
Okay, that's the only DuckTales game I remember.
I played Chippendale.
You would.
Yeah, that's... Wait. That's Rescue Rangers, Chippendale Rescue.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay,
I was trying
to build this connection because I hear Chippendale and I'm thinking Las Vegas and the dancers.
Oh, Chippendale. Because I was trying to remember playing DuckTales, which I remember playing, but the only thing I kept thinking of was that Chippendale one, which I forgot was called Rescue Rangers. So which is funny because I have a guy that comes to my store as a customer who looks exactly like that mouse.
I thought you were going to say that he's like a Chippendale dancer. That's where I thought that story was going.
No.
That's the way you were hoping.
Yeah. And he comes in with his own theme song.
Remember his name? He was like the pilot, you know? He'd always fly
the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. And he was a mouse, I think.
I think he was
I can't remember his name.
I thought he was a pelican.
Wasn't he a gopher?
Yeah, I think he was a pelican.
No, not that one. It's,
I swear he was a gopher.
Let's Google search this again. Oh, yeah, he was.
Yeah, I have a customer who comes in looking exactly like him every time he comes in the store.
Mustache and all?
Mustache and all. He's got the curly hair like that, and he even comes in sometimes in the summertime when he rides his bike with those goggles, like aviation goggles. I swear, that's all I think about when the guy comes in the store.
What's the guy's name? Do you know?
You know, I should know. He's a regular, and he's a really cool guy. He's a good customer. But my golly, now that I just brought it up, I
pressure's on.
I'm going to blame the drugs on this one.
All right, so he says The Little Mermaid, wasn't an awful game, but fell a bit short compared to a game like DuckTales. Yes, I think that DuckTales game, I think, if I remember right, was pretty long in terms of NES games. It was definitely better than that piece of garbage Tailspin.
Yeah, oh man, Tailspin.
What the hell is Tailspin?
Tailspin, I think, is the one that they're very similar.
Tailspin, you were like a delivery pilot. Your job was to like drop packages off. But it was weird because it was like one of the first NES games where you could move in both directions. So it was like a left to right side scroller, but you could press B to flip your airplane and go back in the other direction.
Oh, I remember that one.
I don't. Sounds dumb.
Oh, yeah, that's the one with the bear.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he was a pilot.
Tailspin. Oh yeah! Okay, I remember now. I used to watch that show all the time. God, we had some good cartoons as kids.
Baloo!
We did.
That was his name, Baloo?
Yeah.
Wasn't he kind of
He's from
the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
And then he moved on and became an airplane pilot.
He got his own show.
It's pretty good.
Jeez.
It's pretty good.
That was a good show. Okay, back to Nick. He says, to save you from reading an incredibly long email, here's a short list of pros cons I liked about the game. He said it controlled well, it had good animations for an NES game, and for some reason he loved how the bosses flew off the screen when you defeated them. I guess I don't necessarily remember that.
I remember.
They did.
They did that.
He said the cons, and I kind of agree with these. The few levels he played were quite repetitive. I found most of the levels were actually pretty much cut and paste from each other. Is that ice
threw things for a loop for a bit.
Didn't know how to handle that.
Be careful. Yeah. Ice is slippery.
Right. He said it took him 3 levels to figure out he could throw seashells and bubbles vertically better than me. I just found out 10 minutes ago. I don't know how I didn't figure that out.
But you're special.
I did figure out, though, that you could run into the boss holding the bubble, and that did the same thing. But that
I love
usually,
holding the shell.
That was the best way
to do it, is just grab a shell and then just walk through the holes until the next screen and just hit everything with the shell.
See, I didn't even think about that. I was just too good at ducking and weaving.
Did you, like, pass elementary school?
Did I what?
Like, how did you make it through elementary school? Is what I'm really wondering here.
I have no idea.
It's called teachers. Just let them go by. They don't want to deal with them another year.
Just let them go.
Is that? No student left behind. Go. Is that what you guys have?
No child left behind.
That was after he got out of the.
Yeah. That's before they had mandatory testing.
They initiated that policy because of Eric.
Yeah. School happens to other people. I'm just here for lunch.
Oh, by the way, Monterey Jack is the character, and he is an Australian mouse.
Yeah.
That's a cheese.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, anyway, that was that.
I might have to give Tailspin a try, because I loved that show.
Was that the only con that he had? Was that the levels were repetitive?
He said levels were repetitive, and it took him a few levels to figure out that he could throw the seashells and bubbles vertically, and he said the boss music was a little too happy. I guess that makes sense, given that it was a Disney game. I think it also makes sense that you're dealing with 8-bit sound. You're kind of restricted to the number of notes you have.
I was surprised how at the end they got like the song. I don't remember what song it was, but it was like pretty spot on for the music.
Is that just the theme song? Oh, no, it was
the Under the Sea song.
Was it?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, I remember thinking that halfway through. I was trying to peg the tune, and it was like an alternate version of it, but you could still pick it up.
Yeah.
There it is.
No, I think the biggest complaint I had was I thought it was really dumb how you got a vase after killing each boss.
What did that do?
I think it was points. I don't know. But whatever it was, they could have given you like something different for each one.
Yeah, something to put in your cave of wonders.
Yeah, your collection.
Or like a new skill, like a trident, an electric trident.
You're really
King
Trident
is the only
deep.
One who can have the trident. He's the king of the sea.
Maybe she kills King Trident.
She wouldn't kill her dad.
Well, he's being kind of a dick.
He kind of is sometimes.
I'm totally.
He gave
gonna...
her legs.
He didn't. Yeah, he did at the end. You are correct.
Twice, actually, in the movie and in the game. I thought that was kind of funny how at the very end she's like, "Oh no, I can't grow legs back. Woe is me." And then the exact same thing that happens in the movie happens in the game.
That's why she's hipster Ariel. Come on.
Oh, jeez. I'm totally going to have to watch Little Mermaid tonight.
I have it on Blu-ray.
I don't know if we...
Nerds.
Unfortunately, we do.
What would be the point of having it on Blu-ray?
Because they release it from the vault, and you have to buy it before
it becomes
hidden again.
It doesn't have a boner anymore.
Yeah.
It's okay to watch it.
How could it possibly look better?
I'm going to hook up the old VCR and play the VHS version.
Yeah, that's the best version.
Yeah, all grainy and looking like shit. That'd be perfect. Any other closing thoughts on Little Mermaid? That's our first movie game we've tackled. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, we did Harry Potter last week.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that junk.
I'm glad we kind of forgot about that.
And they did make a Pokemon movie, so technically... Mm.
Speaking of game cartoons, Kev, did you used to watch the Mega Man cartoon?
I don't think I knew there was a Mega Man cartoon.
I didn't know there was one either until one of our fans sent me a little clip where Mega Man was fighting Pharaoh Man and got his ass totally sucker punched. So I need to try to dig up all those comic or those cartoons because I love me some Mega Man.
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah. Wow. You should know. I think you made
me. I was being
me.
Sarcastic.
I know.
Okay, good.
You still got to make one of those hats for Kev though if you ever get some time because he was oogling mine pretty hardcore.
I will.
Either that or I could convince my grandma to make you one, Kev.
You know, either way, I'd love free shit.
Are you, what size of hat do you wear? Like, are you a big-headed person, a medium-headed person?
I cannot wear store-bought hats because my head is too huge.
Okay. Oh.
And that's without the hair.
Yeah.
So maybe on his, you should incorporate a chin strap.
I made a hat that came with, like, a detachable beard, which is kind of hilarious.
Nice.
Where, like, it's a crocheted beard, and then but my husband doesn't wear it. So.
I still want you to make me that Gimli beard and hat helmet that I sent you a picture of.
I feel like that's a little hardcore. That no might way. Have to be, like, a next Christmas type of thing.
Still be awesome.
Just make him the hat part, but tell him he has to grow the beard himself.
You don't want to see
on,
the beard
be
that I can grow. It's not attractive. It looks good at the 5 o'clock shadow level, and then once it starts growing out, like that gap between the mustache and the chin beard, it just doesn't grow in very hard.
Do you still have your magnificent beard?
Yes, I do.
Oh, are you going to just pretty much go the rest of your life without shaving that?
I don't think that would be possible.
Sure it would.
Well, eventually I would have to, like, throw it over my shoulder.
I feel like it would get skeezy.
Even further along down the lines, I probably wouldn't be able to hold my head up.
You could start braiding it like dwarves.
See, that's the end game. Once I can start braiding it and putting it into, like, dreadlocks, then I'll consider it a success.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Dreadlocks. That would not. Why would you want dreadlocks for your beard? Like
that because it would be amazing.
That would be a pretty sweet beard.
It's pretty sweet, but dreadlocks really smell.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's why it's the end game. Because once you achieve the dreadlocks, then you can consider it a success and then just shave it off.
So you can have them for like 5 minutes and then you're done.
Well, you can probably go with a week with them and it'd probably be
you
okay.
Just douse them in patchouli. And you
actually,
really...
no, that's...
Oh, God, that would be awesome.
It's a total myth that you can't wash your dreadlocks, because I had a friend who had dreadlocks for a while, and she said that she could wash her hair, like, all the time, and it was fine.
Yeah, but to get the dreadlocks, you have to, like, clump it up and get really ratty looking.
They sell wax and stuff, so you, like, backcomb your hair and put this, like, wax in it to form the dreadlocks.
Those
and
are poser dreadlocks.
No, that's how they do them.
Real dreadlocks are just... not taking showers.
American dreadlocks could be not taking showers. In Canada, we're clean.
Instead, they decided to make a fashion statement out of being filthy. We're just going to twist our hair into clumps. People want to be like us.
Either that or I'll just do the Coolio-style dreadlocks.
Oh, Coolio. Oh. There's a throwback to the 90s. Whatever happened to that guy?
I don't know, but I heard one story where he was doing a show and like at some scuzzy club somewhere, and he went stage diving and nobody caught him, and then he like hurt himself, so people were like pretending to help him up, but they were really just stealing all the bling that he had.
Oh no.
And then just left him there and then and ran away.
That's so sad.
Poor Coolio.
I think Coolio's, what was the name of that album? Gangster's Paradise?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think that was the first CD that I had ever bought. No, Mr. LL Cool J, Mr. Smith was the first CD I bought. And then LL Cool Coolio was next. That was in my rap days.
My God, yeah. You must have been the coolest person
I was
in the world.
Super cool.
See, the problem with Coolio is he lost a lot of credit when he started.
Cred.
he lost a lot of his cred when he decided to get mad at Weird Al Yankovic when he said, "Okay, you can make a song for it," and then he didn't like the song, and then he started to like sue Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, I didn't even know he gave money. Weird Al the
apparently
go-ahead.
It was his.
He gave him the go-ahead, and then Coolio. Paid him a lot of money, and then he just went off and on a tirade and said that Weird Al did it without his permission and things like that. There's documentation. Yeah, so after that point, though, he just started to kind of go down.
And it doesn't even matter either, because Weird Al is a good guy like that. He actually asks permission to copy people's songs. But because it falls under parody, he doesn't actually have to ask for permission.
Yeah.
He can just do it to anything that he wants.
I think the only time he has to ask for permission or kick back royalties is when he's using the actual sound from the song. And he usually recreates it himself.
Yeah, on accordion.
Because I know there's I've only heard of two bands so far that have not liked what he did, other than, well, I guess including Coolio.
Who's the other one?
No, Red Hot Chili Peppers, when they did the one for the Flintstones movie.
Oh God,
they were not happy about that. And then Nirvana, they kind of liked it because he goes, "What do you want to sing about?" Well, I basically want to make the song where like nobody understands what's coming out of your mouth. And that was the one about the Marvel. so then Nirvana was like, "Oh, that makes sense, I guess." But they were happy. And then Coolio's thing too, where the song just made it. But it was like kind of like Josh and his gangster style, you know what I mean? So
Lady Gaga wasn't impressed either.
Yeah, she held off and said that she didn't want him to release the song for the longest time, and then she finally just caved in when he put it on the internet and everybody said it's amazing.
What song was that?
Hatched or something? Born like a...
Yeah, it was Hatched This Way, I think it was.
Hatched This Way, I think it was, yeah. Yeah,
I didn't think Weird Al was actually still going at it like that.
He actually has a concert at Calgary Comic Con in the next couple weeks here in Calgary.
You going?
I don't think so.
You should totally go. I bet you that's a great crowd to be in. There's got to be a lot of fun people.
Weird Al was actually the first concert I ever saw in my life. I was like 8.
Really?
Wow. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, my parents took me to the Weird Al show.
That would be awesome. I just want to find them, and I want to write a script for UHF 2.
Oh, I love UHF.
I want to make another one.
Oh. All right. I totally just lost my train of thought. It popped in. Next game. What did we have?
Well, you wanted to play Link's game for the Game Boy Color.
It's called Link's Awakening, yes.
Link's Awakening.
I have to
be honest, and I was never a huge Zelda fan growing up.
Don't do this to me, Aaron.
I think I'm going to have to leave the show right now.
Don't do this to me.
I mean, I like it. I actually prefer watching other people play than me actually playing the games myself. I guess that makes sense.
So
I had a rough time. And the first time I played, I couldn't figure out Like, I got my shield right away because it had my name on it. That's how I knew it was mine.
Yeah.
And then he said, go south to the beach. So I go down to the beach. There's all the bad guys. And I'm like, well, where the heck is my sword? And then I kept dying because I kept getting hit by the...
Okay.
I found the sword finally.
I'll tell you right now that was my biggest memory of this game is... I think this is actually one of the first Zelda games that I played, aside from the NES one, but, you know, I was really little then and didn't really comprehend much, so I had for some reason, we stumbled upon a Game Boy, and this is the first game that I actually purchased with my own money, and I remember putting, like, 5 hours into the beginning of this, because I could not find my sword. I'm like, I got the shield, what the hell do I do with it? And I got down to the screen where you could see the sword, and I'm like, how do you get to this stupid thing? And for some reason, like, that is the one thing that sticks with me about this game from my childhood is that I was too stupid to figure out how to get the stupid sword.
Right now, that's not surprising me.
Yeah, well, those NES games and their control schemes were tough. Fucking three buttons. Blow me away.
You know, but once I figured that out, I did enjoy it. I got to that first cave, the tail for the first boss level.
Well, hold on. Before we delve further into this, we should tell the storyline behind this particular game. Most of the Zelda games revolve around Link having to save Hyrule from Ganon and having to rescue the princess. This game is not like that at all. At the beginning, you're on a ship, you get shipwrecked, you wind up on a beach, you get taken in by this little village community by Marin and Taryn, I think her dad's name is, and you discover that your only way to get off of this island is to collect these 8 instruments and wake the windfish. So everything that's happening on this world, or everything that you're doing, is a dream from the windfish, and the windfish is asleep in this giant egg on top of the mountain up north. So, story in a nutshell. Continue, Aaron.
Okay. So then I'm in there, and now this is before my first playthrough. Before I think I talked to you once, and you said this is what you got to do, and okay, then I went back in and played. But I went down, I got my sword finally, and then I apparently, well, one okay, so two things in there. I didn't talk to anybody in the village. I talked to a couple people. I walked in, but they didn't give me any good advice. They're like, oh, go, don't do that, you know, get out of here or whatever. But then what I did like about the town was a lot of the Nintendo classics kind of just being there. Like the one house had a chomper,
yep,
you know, sitting out in front of it. I thought was kind of neat.
A chain chomp.
Apparently there's, yeah, chain chomp. And then there's some Yoshis that you can find, you told me about.
Yep.
That I should look for. And, again, it's the classic, you know, Zelda over the top isometric view, going around, going to the dungeons, killing the bad guys, which you don't necessarily have to do. You can just bypass most of those guys.
Well, this game in particular was the one that kind of transitioned from the NES era into the Super Nintendo era that everybody kind of refers to as the retro Zelda. But like you're saying, as you get further into the game, there's more retro throwbacks too. There's actually Goombas in the game, and some of the fish from the underwater Mario levels. And if you look, I could even argue that Taryn looks a little bit like Mario himself. That guy that gives you his shield right away at the beginning.
Yeah, a little bit, because it's just that little. And you know, did you blow your? I'm just gonna say, did you blow yours up?
Really?
The screen? Did you play it on a Game Boy or something, or did you play it on a computer?
I was playing it on my PSP.
PSP. Okay, so I did it on my monitor, and I tried to blow it up, but I couldn't blow it up too big because otherwise, it's literally the size of a Game Boy Color thing, and I'm trying to play it on that, you know, on the screen in that little tiny box.
You know that you could go up to video and go to enlarge image, and it'll just enlarge the image?
I did do that.
Okay.
But I brought it big, but then that it kind of just, it was very distorted.
Yeah. Well, it was meant to be played on a 2-inch by 2-inch right. screen.
Exactly. So, but, you know, back then, you know, I'm just saying that the Mario look is really easy to do. We throw a red hat on a guy and red pants.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I said I played it.
How far did you get into it?
I said I got I got to the very first cave, the tail cave, cave of tails or whatever that was.
Wait, when you say cave, do you mean the first dungeon?
Yes, I suppose it would be the dungeon, because it's after you go get your sword, it's after you go up in the forest, and you have to go through that maze to get the key to unlock the cave door.
Mm-hmm. You got to pick up the mushroom and go to the witch and get the powder and throw it on the raccoon, which looks like a tanuki.
Right.
And then that took me forever to figure out as a kid. Because he doesn't tell you anything about, like, hey, throw this
witch,
dust in my
eyes. The witch says, just throw it on stuff. So then literally I was going around just throwing it on stuff.
Yeah. But you got to remember, as a kid, I think this is where I get my inability to read stuff, is I would just click through the text. It's like, I just want to play.
Right. But it was also one of the ones where you could draw a map as you play the game, and a map would come in handy.
You are the king of maps.
You could just press select and a map.
Yeah, but it had that, but it was one about memory. Like, I want to go there and that, whereas there you could go there.
That's true. I suppose I've played this so many times that I've got it.
A sheet of paper.
I've got it pretty well memorized. Kev, have you ever played this game?
I have not played this one, no. I never had a Game Boy when I was a kid.
Have you played any Zelda games?
I played the first two for the NES, and I played A Link to the Past for Super Nintendo.
Okay, you like A Link to the Past?
Yes, it was awesome.
So I'm just going to lay this out there. Anybody who played A Link to the Past and enjoyed it, I'm going to go ahead and say that you're going to like this one just as much, if not more.
I was one of the few people who thought the second Zelda game for NES was actually good. Because
really?
it wasn't like a classic top down like all the other Zelda games. It was a side scroller.
I'm not gonna lie, I never really got far into that game. I've tried to play it before and then I just get frustrated and give up.
Yeah, it's actually super hard. It's probably
I always get down to the first forest, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck to do, and then I just turn it off. It's like the original Zelda. They don't tell you where any of the dungeons are. They're just like, fuck this game, I'm done.
Well, it adds a lot of RPG elements to it, because you level up your guy, you choose whether or not you want to level up your armor, your weapon, your magic, or your health. And then you actually have to talk to the people in the towns to figure out what you're supposed to do.
Maybe that's my problem. I didn't talk to anybody.
Sounds about right.
You gotta talk to people. And especially in all those original like NES games.
Yeah.
They designed those, so you have to go and talk to everybody, even though they don't have anything to say.
But see,
just one guy randomly at the
when I played the
bar.
Original Final Fantasies and Dragon Quests, I made it a point to talk to everybody in town, I guess, because I was hoping that they would expand more on the story rather than just have menial, nonsensical crap to say. So I guess I don't know why in certain games I just don't pay attention to what people have to say. Maybe it's because I view Zelda as more of an action-style game.
Well, yeah, I mean, coming from the first game when there was a grand total of 3 NPCs in the entire game.
Yeah.
And then going to the second one, you probably just weren't expecting that you had to actually talk to people.
I had a sword, and I just wanted to hit
stuff. Plus, a lot of what they say is, like, menial. Like, it just doesn't matter. And they take so long to say it, and that's what frustrates me so much.
Yet, one of the guys in Link 2 had one of the most profound statements in any video game ever. Nobody knows what he means when he says, I am error.
You just blew my mind.
Sad. You guys have... You don't know that?
No.
He's in the very first town, like the fourth or fifth building in. You walk in, he looks like a shopkeeper, and you go up and talk to him, and he just says, I am error. And that's all he says. Think about that.
Poor guy.
So, back to Link's Awakening. Jess, how far did you get into it?
Not far at all.
Oh, you guys are killing me.
I know, I told you. I had so much to do this week that it just wasn't happening.
And I played the other game that we brought up.
Jess has responsibilities.
And we have 2 weeks to play it, too. Yeah.
This, up to what I played so far, I kind of forgot how much this game relies on your ability to figure out who to go and talk to next. Because it's not just simply the owl won't come down and say, here's where you have to go. Sometimes there's half an hour between dungeons where you have to take an item that you find and go figure out who to give it to, and they'll give you another item to go and give it to somebody else, and then that will unlock the way forward. I don't know. I kind of like that aspect of it rather than just crawling through the dungeons. Did you at least get to the second dungeon?
Barely.
Barely.
That first dungeon kicked my ass, I gotta be honest.
Next week, I'll have it done.
They can get pretty tough. I know some of the dungeons later in the game get pretty difficult. This game's got your typical abilities. You have your Pegasus boots. You've got your Rock's Feather, the power bracelet, the hookshot, the magic dust. But the one thing that kind of irritates me about it, and I guess it's because you're limited to two buttons on the Game Boy, is that they try to incorporate a lot of those items into each dungeon, so you're constantly going back into the pause menu and reassigning your buttons.
Yeah.
It can get a little frustrating. But
I always just get frustrated with... I find, like, they're so intricate and I get lost.
Yeah, these... For a mobile game, this game is huge.
Yeah, that's true. Your binder full of maps would actually have been handy for me.
Next to your Faxanadu maps.
That's right. Faxanadu maps are helpful.
Crap, I had another point. Oh, you guys are playing the DX version, right?
Yes. Whatever one you gave me to play.
Yes.
After you beat the third dungeon, I'll tell you this right now, I didn't know where to find this extra dungeon that they have. And after you beat the third dungeon, you can go up to the graveyard. And there is, well, actually, before you do that, you have to go to the library, which is in the town, and there's a book up on top of the shelf, which if you knock that book down, you can read it, and it tells you to go to a graveyard, and it gives you this pattern of how to move the gravestones. So if you go up to the graveyard and kill the ghosts that are there and then move the gravestones around in that proper order, a new dungeon will open up, and if you beat that dungeon, you get to choose between a red cloak or a blue cloak. And a red one will double your sword power, or the blue one will double your defense power.
This is the Matrix.
Seems pretty good.
It is, and I chose the red cloak, and I've had no issues with anything.
Did you ever get to shoot your sword in this one? I remember back in ones I used to play.
You get these pieces of Triforce, which will cause your sword to kind of...
It's more powerful.
Yeah. And then you get the Guardian Acorns, which will reduce your damage by half. But I don't know if it's a glitch with the version that I'm playing, but I don't remember those Triforce pieces lasting for like 5-10 minutes on end. I always remember them being like 30-45 seconds.
That's how long I had mine on my game here. I had it on, it would go for, I think, maybe 3 minutes.
Yeah, I had some that lasted forever.
Yeah, it seemed like if I went to a new part of the map, it would go away.
Mine would go, like, I picked one up at the beginning of the dungeon, I had it through the boss and on my trek back to the town. It was just, it must have just been a bug.
Yeah. But, it's a good bug.
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to ruin anything else that comes up, because after you get past the fourth dungeon, things get kind of cool, so...
I definitely want to continue to play it, so we'll have to come back and talk about this one.
It's definitely one of those that we have to split between 2 weeks because it's super long.
Which is exactly why I didn't finish it all this week. I was planning ahead.
But now you didn't get to your halfway point. So now you've got twice as much work in half the amount of time.
I'm a rock star. I can do it.
Aaron, you mentioned another game last week that you were going to play, Blaster Master.
Yes, and I did play Blaster Master, and it is as fun as I remember.
So, time out. You played all three?
Yes.
Jess, you do get the shit-colored star this week.
I do, damn it.
It's usually Aaron who's just come back and like, I haven't played anything.
Well, it was really cool because I had the next day off, so I spent that morning on Thursday playing Little Mermaid, beat that, and I started playing Blaster Master. And then later that night, I started playing the Zelda, and I played Zelda a couple days throughout until today.
I remember you sending me a message. I was shocked to get a text message from you so early in the morning. It's like, I beat Little Mermaid.
I was trying to tweet it, but my stupid phone said, tweet error, will not go. And I was like,
all All right, Kev, have you played Blaster Master?
I have, but it has been a very long time since I have. That's the one where you're the little tank, right?
Yes.
You're a little tank, and you get out of the tank, and then there's like two different like game mechanics of the game. But I remember because I was watching the whole entire cutscene, I guess you'd call, before the game starts, and it is exactly how I remembered. Like, I forgot, but then as I watched it, it all came back to me. And really, it's one of those games where they don't give you any plot.
Yeah, can you tell me what the hell is going on? Because at the beginning, you're kind of this rad 90s skater dude who walks into his house and you're poking your frog. And...
Yeah, you have a pet frog, and it gets away and it ends up going in. Apparently on your property, there is a like a biohazard.
Yeah, you've got this radioactive box in your back lawn.
In your back room. So then you go, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got to get my frog back. And then somehow you jump in there. And you get the thing. And this is just how it actually is. Like when you start playing the game, that's exactly how it goes. You're gonna watch a frog jump up, becomes radioactive, and you jump down, and all of a sudden you put on this suit and you get in this like tank of a car. Yeah, and then you start playing.
He jumps down into this cave, or he jumps down into this hole that this frog either explodes into the ground or digs with a shovel, or something stupid that they don't explain. And there is this gigantic new underground cave structure under his entire city, and for some reason there's a spacesuit and a tank.
Yeah. Now let me read this to you. This is not for me.
Is there an actual storyline to this game?
There's a plot to this game. I'll read the plot here. I found this. I looked this up. But basically, the original was the Japanese version, of course, and it takes place on last year. It's about Sophie the Third. So in that one, there it kind of makes more sense because you're on another world, another planet. But in this one, for the USA release, it has a cinematic sideshow of ominous music plays in the background. The game starts with a person named Jason who has a pet frog named Fred, who one day decides to leap out of his fishbowl and out of the front door. Fred then touches a radioactive chest and he grows to enormous size. Fred and the chest then fall into a hole in the earth. Jason chases Fred down the hole, which leads to a large underground cavern. While more sources say that Jason chased Fred down to the hole, the game's instruction manual says that Jason fell into the hole while trying to reach for Fred.
Okay, so pretty much this game should have completely foregone storyline.
Pretty much. That's pretty much it. Because then as you get down there, you're getting this vehicle that's designed to battle radioactive mutants that live inside the Earth.
For some reason, there's a horizon with a sky and everything under the ground.
Which was like Rygar, we were saying.
Yes.
Yeah, so when you look at that screen, that is kind of that Rygar-esque, you know, there was a lot of games that came out that way that looked like that in those 2D platformers. But the cool thing about it was, there's the one screen where you have the tank, and you could hit select to get out of the tank, and then you can actually shoot your little blaster at the bad guys, too. So sometimes that would give you an advantage in being in a tank. But then you can get out of there, and there'd be these little doors that you can go into, or little caverns that only Jason can get into, which leads to another different type-looking screen where you have Jason, who's like a big bobblehead-looking character.
How do you know his name's Jason?
It says it in the game, too.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, and I remember reading it...
in the instructions.
And then I just looked up the instruction manual here.
The manuals used to have a whole bunch of backstory in the old NES games.
Mm-hmm. Current game companies are slacking. I want backstory.
Yeah, they put all that story in the game now.
Shit.
So, and I did get to, I got to level 2 on it, and I got to the boss battle on level 2, and I didn't make it. But, and it's one of the games again where like, okay, so... As Jason, you go in this other little type of scenario where it's just you and a big, you know, like a big bobblehead because the helmet's on.
Top down
view.
You
shoot your blaster. Top down view, right? And you know, you shoot bad guys and you shoot these like blocks to find stuff to make you more powerful. And but if you get hit by a bad guy, not only does it take your health away, it takes away your gun's power.
Every time you get hit?
Every time you get hit. So if it's, say, there's a one spot where you finally get a chance to have a nice gun, and it gets a lot of power. And as the power goes, the bullets, they can do different things. And it gets to a point where, like, the bullets, like, you'll shoot three at a time, and then they kind of do a circle around you. So for aiming wise, it was kind of a pain in the butt because you'd be trying to shoot, but then as soon as you would, it would get to the target, it would start to do their little like circle around you.
I no wonder, because I got hit all the time and I never had anything other than the basic blaster.
Yeah, and the basic blaster is just, you got to be in front of the guy and shoot it. And then there's also a bomb that you have too if you hit the A button, I believe. And then, but as you're in there though, like there's one level where you finally get all the powerful gun, and then there's like this floating head that can shoot at you and gets in your way. And maybe just because I'm using a 360 controller, so like the directional pad isn't that accurate.
Yeah.
But I kept getting hit. You know what I mean? Like he kept hitting me. There's no way I could avoid being hit by the guy in certain pots. Because even then, you can also walk. There's all these little spikes on the ground, and if you walk on the spikes, then you also take damage. So on this one level, there's spikes on the ground, that floating head, so there's nowhere to go if you don't want to get hit. So and then you get hit, then you lose your gun's powers, and it's like, God damn it, you know? And then there's not really a save point in the game. You have to, like, finish a level and then choose to save.
Did anybody else notice that the continue screen, but when you died and it told you how many lives you had left, just had super poor English. It's like left two.
Yeah, that's how it starts. left one. Left at zero.
I don't know. I've heard some people talking about this game. It's, no thanks. I made it to the first boss battle, and no thanks.
That, now, which one do you consider the first? Was that the one with the brain and had like the meteorites going around it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a pain in the balls too.
I don't really have.
If you get hit by, if you get with a thing, you lose your big gun. You know, that's all I was saying. It's kind of like Geometry Wars a little bit, but
yeah,
you got to be in the right spot to be able to do something. But then there's just no way to get to the spot to do damage. By the time you get damage to him again, you're out of range. So, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed playing it again. So,
any thoughts?
I'll continue to do that.
Kev, nothing?
No, not really. I don't really remember a whole lot about that game. I just remember I sucked at it.
I wasn't too good at it. You guys want to do some... Oh, what?
I was just going to say, I don't think I even made it to the first boss.
Oh, okay. You guys want to do some emails?
Emails.
Sure.
Emails. We actually got...
Hulk want email.
If you want to send us an email, factorysealed@manatank.com. We have... Well, wow, I sent out a tweet saying Kev was on, so hopefully we've got some questions for Kev. Here we go.
You guys ignored every single one. You know that, right?
What?
Are you guys choosing to ignore my Hulk voice, this role that I've been doing and put on there?
We're just trying not to draw attention to it.
I'm trying to give you the autistic Hulk again, and you guys are just like, okay. Dead silence. Like,
I didn't realize you were doing that.
I knew the autistic Hulk was coming out, I just... ignored it.
I didn't think it sounded anything like the Hulk.
Did you listen to last week's show? Because
oh god,
he explained his whole Hulk voice, and we dubbed it the autistic Hulk.
Yeah.
Okay.
And clearly, Kev listens to our show every single time. He's one of our four fans.
Obviously.
Actually, I haven't heard last week's show, but that's the only one I haven't listened to yet.
See, he keeps up. Okay, first question comes from Matt Grindle. He says, hi, Factory Seal crew. Since no one stepped up to the plate last week, I will give you a couple game suggestions to consider, both of which are rather nostalgic to me. They are Double Dragon on the NES and or The Seventh Saga on the Super Nintendo. Two very different games, both pretty fun. There are a few funny glitches in Double Dragon, so if you do a playthrough, do watch out for them. And I was trying to read ahead. Maybe you guys can help me make sense of this because I don't understand it. It says, I'm also the Twitter guy that was suffering from a lack of productivity at work when Eric totally dialed it in over the holidays. As far as listening...
Oh, when you ruined everyone's life by going on vacation.
That's right.
And the guy said that, oh, you guys need to go on a show again because I'm not doing anything at work. And then we had a conversation about what you would listen to at work and
right.
All of that.
And so he does listen to it at work.
Yeah, he says, yes. As far as listening with headphones, I have to keep an ear out for the phone and also not ignore coworkers so they're not, so they're a no-go when at work. But podcasts that don't have crazy people yelling on it for huge volume spikes, i.e. Manitank podcast are are safe, even with the occasional F-bomb. I fully approved your decision to go weekly. Your show is great. I want to be entertained on a weekly basis, so good on you. One of my favorite things about your podcast is hearing your review of a game that I have played in my youth and haven't revisited in years, and having it trigger those long-forgotten memories about it, whether good or bad. I had that with Illusion of Gaia and never realized I did not finish that game. So, suggestions. Double Dragon on the NES and Seventh Saga. Kev, I heard you say something about Seventh Saga.
Seventh Saga is a very special game.
I've got a love-hate relationship with that game.
It has... You get it at the beginning of the game, you get a choice between seven characters to be. And each one of them has pros and cons. Mm-hmm. But there's really only two viable characters, because there's only two characters in the entire game that can heal.
I forgot about that.
And
I can't remember this game at all.
The other things about the game is about not halfway through, but it all depends on which character you pick. You get to recruit one of the other characters to join your party.
So and you want to get both healing people.
Well, no, you can't, because each character has a hidden alignment certain characters can't team up with other characters. And the other thing that I know about that game is it is one of the most farm-intensive games I have ever
yes.
played.
Yes. I remember spending hours on that stupid overmap.
Yeah, it's like the first boss you can beat, depending on your team, between level 8 and 10. But to even be able to fight the enemies in the next level, like the next area after beating the first boss, you have to be like level 18.
Jesus. I'm trying to dredge up some memories from that game, and the only thing I can figure out, or the only thing I can remember, is the overworld and how I thought it was so cool that you could see where the enemies were on the mini map, but you couldn't see them on the normal map that you were walking around on.
Yeah, that I.
Is that right?
I think that's right, but it's been so long since I've played it. I mean, I tried to play it a couple years ago because I remember really liking it when I was a kid, and then just all of those things that I just said just totally take away from the fun of the game.
Yeah, I don't think that game will age well. I'm willing to give it a go.
Seventh Saga or Romancing Saga?
Seventh Saga. Seventh, Romancing the Saga is...
Someone I can remember. I'm trying... Cause...
I'm writing them down. With a pen and paper instead of my...
I don't have access to Seventh Saga at the moment. Okay.
You're on a computer and you pick a pen and paper.
Shut up. Sometimes I just like the old feel of...
Going old school.
Dead trees. Okay, I didn't look at our next email here. We've got one from Hayden Biddy. Says, hey Eric, Jess, and Aaron, I'd like to suggest another game. Spyro the Dragon. I remember my older brother and I spending countless hours on our living room floor playing that game on the PS1. Hope you play this. Hayden, I'm a dude. He wrote in earlier and we were trying to figure out if it was a guy or a girl. So
yes, because we were talking about Hayden Christensen.
Thank you for... No, we were talking about Hayden Panettiere.
Both of them are like have some pretty good genes going on. But
we should never, ever talk about Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, that's... No.
Shut up. He is gorgeous.
Isn't he the one who... Wait. Was he in the Star Trek guy, Star Wars guy?
Yeah, he was Darth Vader.
He was pretty good in Life as a House.
He was so good in that.
Life I'm not gonna, as a House.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
Yeah.
But as he was a terror, he ruined it for me in Star Wars. So
shut up. He had bad directing.
He had bad acting.
He was supposed to be robotic. He was supposed to be emotionally distant, so he pulled those off really well.
Obi-Wan's holding me back.
Should have just
I killed
put
the children.
Keanu Reeves in it. Would have been way better.
That'd be a terrible version. Spyro the Dragon, anybody have any personal connections with that?
I do want to play. I've always wanted to replay that game.
I remember playing it as a kid and thinking, this game kind of sucks.
You're a dragon, and you get to
shoot
fire.
Yeah, but that's kind of fun.
I don't know, Maybe it was all the purple kind of turned me off.
Well, Hayden, if I can find a copy of it, I will play it.
Yeah, PS1 games are a little harder to get our hands on. Let's see. Next.
But I will play Double Dragon at the last
one. Oh, that's, I forgot to talk about that. I've never been a big fan of those side-scrolling beat-em-up games.
No.
See, but you didn't have friends that came over to play at your house with them. Because it's fun. That's a fun two-player game.
Thanks for reminding me. Thanks for reminding me I had no friends as a child.
You had way more friends. Your grandma paid them.
My grandma never bought me these side-scrolling games.
I play Double Dragon
with my buddy all the time. Like, and he's right. It's so corny and cheesy, that game, but it's just fun to go through.
I tried playing Double Dragon Neon on the PSN. They just gave that away a couple months ago. And
oh, that's the one when your partner dies, you got to rewind the tape.
I missed that one.
It's so dumb. The only side-scrolling ones I could really handle were the Simpsons and the Ninja Turtles arcade games.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. And maybe it's because, again, maybe I didn't play those with friends, but there's something about them. What was the other one that everybody really liked? Something Fury?
Fatal Fury?
Fatal Fury. Or is it Fists of Rage?
Final Fight?
Final Fight? Well, there's a whole bunch of them, man. Those two.
Start listing them off. Let's see. You might hit it.
There's Final Fight. I think they made a Fist of the North Star game back then, even. The Turtles game. Then they made the Simpsons game, which played just like the Turtles game.
I don't know. Either way, I don't necessarily enjoy them. I think I'm going to pass on the Double Dragon.
I'll play it for you.
Okay. You can enjoy it for both of us.
For all of us.
Okay. We've got one from Jason Jones. He says, hi, FSP crew, and hopefully Kev. Found this game the other day that gave me an idea for a question. It's a mod of the original Mario with a twist. The twist being that Mario is now armed with a portal gun. You can work your way through the original Mario levels firing portals and having some serious fun. He gives us a link to it. He says, my question is this. For you, what would be your perfect or funniest combination of a retro game featuring a modern-day game mechanic? For example, Pac-Man with a Mass Effect-style moral choice system. Will eating that ghost come back to haunt you later?
That's amazing.
Oh, man, that's genius.
Wow.
I saw the Portal one, but I never really actually liked
it. I never played it.
No.
It looks cool. Yeah,
right. But I love Portal, so.
It's on a website called Stab Yourself. That's where actual sunshine should be. There's the link for it, stabyourself.net. I'll have to check that out. I don't know. Modern game mechanics in a retro game. What are some of the... Let's think. What are some of the most common modern game mechanics that we think of today that they didn't have?
Customizable skills.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first part. Okay, I know somebody started doing this, but I would like to see it done to completion. A first person shooter Mega Man game. I would be all over that.
Wasn't that called Metroid?
Shut up.
Yeah, wasn't the GameCube Metroid one like a first-person shooter?
Yeah, all the Metroids since then have been first-person.
Have they? I only played the good one, so...
I don't... I would love to see a first-person shooter Mega Man, because... And then have it, I guess if you want to say, have it like Call of Duty style with upgradable skill sets and loadouts and... You know, you could put a crappy campaign in there if you wanted to. Otherwise, the different characters you could be in the online world would be the different bosses from the games. I think that would be super cool. That's just me, though.
Sorry, I'm downloading the Portal game now.
Mario Portal?
Yeah.
About Mario.
You can pick different hats.
It's a hat simulator.
Yeah.
Mario.
Kev, what would you want?
Truth.
I'm not too sure. It's like a.
That's a good question.
That's an in-depth question. That might take me a week to come up with a good answer on that.
I really like his example. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's just that's profound. All right, we're gonna put a pin in that one and think about it. Maybe come back to it. Good
Actually,
question.
I got one. Just like any of those like Mario platformer games with like the Prince of Persia style rewinding time.
Kind of like Braid.
No, I don't know what that is.
You don't know what Braid is? That was the one game that kind of launched the indie movement.
Oh, sorry, it's an indie game. I don't truck that shit.
Sorry for throwing a wrench in your system.
I only play mainstream games.
Oh, okay. I'm not even going to get into that. Did you make your suggestion? I forgot.
I wouldn't mind, this is going to be, this is, let me get my train of thought in order here. Not really one that it would make a lot of sense, but to me it makes sense. I wouldn't mind seeing like the Punch-Out game and then redone with the Wii Fit board.
What?
So during the training scenes, you have to run on the board to get ready. That would be fun.
That would actually be really kind of fun.
So okay. Are you playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, or are you playing
Mike Tyson's re-release? Not Mr. Dream one. No, not Mr. Dream. Like the Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And I want to say, I wouldn't mind seeing, I'm trying to think of a game where they had a lot of interactions, we had to talk, but L.A. Noir style, like so their faces would actually be right there and accurate. But I was trying to think of a good game that would work on back in the day that would make it like silly.
Okay, so I downloaded this Mario, and I can't figure out how to shoot my portals.
You can change, if you go into settings, you can change the things.
Okay, I'll figure that out later. That's pretty sweet, though. Sorry, complete sidetrack. Anybody else have any other thoughts on that?
That game's four-player co-op.
What?
That Mario game's got four-player co-op.
Online
co-op? Guess what we're doing next week.
Is it online co-op?
I'm assuming so.
Wait.
It just says...
Wait. We need to...
Add puzzle game mechanics from Portal. There you go. And if that wasn't crazy enough, play four-player co-op with everyone having their own Portal gun.
That's crazy.
I'm pretty sure you gotta be on the same screen. Because if that game had network compatibility, that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, because then Eric would totally just troll everyone and stick a portal at the very beginning of the level and then catch up to everyone else and then just portal them as they're trying to jump somewhere. Oh, you're back at the beginning of the level. Sucks to be you.
That's how I was playing awesome. New Super Mario Bros. Wii U. No, I still can't shoot portals. Fuck this game.
Yeah,
did you have to extract it out of some out of folder?
All right, we got another question from Sandex Toes. That's no name given. He says, "Hey, Factory Sealed staff, we've been upgraded.
We're paid."
Looking back at retro game companies, was there ever any specific company you enjoyed that isn't around anymore and should have lasted longer, and why? Example: 3DO. He's got a game request for us. He says, "I'm wondering if you guys could try an old PC-based game just for fun. I loved playing this because I always had a trip every weekend night as a kid playing this on the PC. Lego Island or Lego Racing. So much fun chasing the bandit all over the island. Thanks for your time, Sandex Toes."
Well, I believe they made Lego Racing for the PS...
One?
Two... I want to say they made it for PS2 as well, but I think PS1 as well.
All right, let's tackle his question, because I've actually got something for this. He's any game company that isn't around that you think should have lasted longer.
Yes.
What?
They are... I was waiting for somebody else to say it, and it was like silence there, dead air for a while. I think there might still be around, but they're no longer there. I would say Sierra Games.
Sierra Games. What did they make?
Sierra Games was behind all the King's Quest, Space Quest, Gabriel Knight, Phantasmagoria, pretty much the IT games in the PC world back in the day. And I do believe they made a couple of games for the console. And a matter of fact, as I do with some of the games, they'll have that Sierra logo.
Yeah, see, that's what
but,
I...
But the storytellers that they had there were phenomenal. And they, I don't know what happened to the company. They must have got absorbed or something, but they just aren't making games anymore.
They did the Ultima game, didn't they?
Yes, I believe they did Ultima as well. Like,
yeah, they had a whole lot of good games for PC.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they've actually been gone. It was probably the late 90s, early 2000s, where they kind of disappeared. It
looks like they went under in 99.
They did I'm pretty sure it was them, did a game called Lords of Magic.
Yeah, and I actually have that game, which is a game that I was going to suggest we play.
I have that game, too. That game is awesome.
I bought off a guy for $5.
Lords of Magic, huh?
$5? Yeah.
I kind of want to play Phantasmagoria, though. I've heard a lot of good stuff about
God,
that.
God, it's so good.
Is it?
It is so good. The first one is amazing. The second one is okay. It's worth the playthrough. But yeah, the first one is
so
great.
I don't recognize a lot of these games that I'm looking here at this list of games that they've made. But you were saying that they threw their name on a lot of other titles. So is that just them in a publishing capacity, or is that just kind of like their stamp of, hey, we approve of this?
It must be, because like I said, I don't see them very much anymore, but there is a couple times where I'll go and I'll play a game, and that Sierra logo will pop up, and it's usually on a PC game. Not too many on consoles. Like I said, I don't know if they're just throwing money in, you know, they're just basically like a producer.
Hmm. I would have to say Interplay. They did the old Rock and Roll Racing series. And I think that's the only reason I wish they were around, is so that they could still do that. But I'm trying to think off the top of my head what other games they were behind. Is Interplay is not still around anymore, are they?
Interplay?
Yeah.
They were.
They're still around.
Are they? Are they around in a development capacity?
I still see their names on cover art.
Hmm.
Let me look it up here. I believe it was on...
I think they might just be around in a publishing.
It may be. I don't think they're actually... Like I said, some of them, they just went away and started their own things. I don't know. Like I said, I would love to have... Oh, man, I can't remember her name. She wrote the Phantasmagoria series, the King's Quest series, and she was a great writer. Roberta, I want to say her name was.
That's actually something that I would like to see come back in, like, modern PC games, is how, like, in the King's Quest games, you would actually type in what you wanted to happen, and you
yes.
could do pretty much anything.
I didn't play a lot of those PC games as a kid, though. I guess we didn't really have access to that type
Muffin.
Of PC.
Grandma wouldn't buy you a PC, would she?
No, that's the one thing she wouldn't buy me. She's like, I'll just get you a bunch of video games.
Yeah, because I know they did the original Fallout one.
Interplay did the original Baldur's Gate series.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, them and...
So
see, they're doing a lot of stuff like the remake and like the stuff for the Wii U, and they're still making games. They're looks like they're a lot of like the Flash. Like,
don't they still make them under the what's their offshoot Black Isles?
Black Isle,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's who made the Baldur's Gate for the PS2 and Xbox was Black Isle.
Yeah, and then they also did the ones. It's the same team did the Lord the War in the North for Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Which they didn't do as well as I thought they could have done. Like they didn't incorporate the multiplayer and the gameplay like they did before. Like I still haven't played a game like that since Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
And Chambers of Norrath came out.
Hmm. It looks like they had a film. I'm looking here really quick, and they actually had a film division called Interplay Films that was supposed to develop 7 of the company's most popular games into movie titles, including Descent, That's how I know the name, because my very first PC came with Descent. Redneck Rampage, yeah. And they were going to make a Fallout movie as well. Just what
and I... didn't they do music too, or am I making that up?
I don't know. I don't see anything about that. Hmm.
Then I'm making it up.
Kev, any companies you wish were still around?
You actually think that I know what companies make video games? Let alone what companies no longer exist that used to make video games?
True. Sorry. I just got interrupted.
Uh-oh.
Totally threw me off my game. Next question. Did everybody answer?
I'm passing.
Okay. Last question comes from Harrison Hammeter. My question begins with my own personal story when I bought a boxed Conker's Bad Fur Day. I then proceeded to smell the box, and it smelled like cigarette smoke. The smell wore off within 8 months. So my question...
I'm sorry. Okay.
Isn't that the first thing you guys do, is just smell things?
Yeah.
Okay.
So... After I taste them first.
Oh, so you would have licked the box.
I licked the box, then I would have smelled.
Okay. He says, so my question is, have you ever received any games with some sort of abnormality like smell, marking, labels, stickers, etc.? Also, my game suggestion is Gex 2 for the PS1. It also has an N64 version, but lacks a level and cutscenes. The game is witty, full of pop culture references from the late 90s. From Harrison.
Stickers. Hmm.
I think I get more irritated with the stickers because those are harder to get off than magic marker.
And the stickers suck because if they leave that little, like, you pull the sticker off, but the whole sticker doesn't come off and it's the white fuzzy kind of paper.
Yeah.
That's the worst, and it gets
really
gooey.
Yep, really gooey, and there's nothing. Like, Goo Gone doesn't get that off. I discovered that a lot of times when you buy old NES or Super Nintendo games, kids for some reason decided to write their name on their games in magic marker, and sometimes it'd be the only copy of that game you could come across, so I'd buy it, and I found that the Mr. Clean magic eraser would get that off really easily.
Yeah. And nail polish remover.
Really?
Well, if it's on a label, it'll take the label off too, but nail polish remover will take like permanent marker off of any kind of surface.
Hmm. The one thing, I got a copy of the Lufia 2 Rise of the Sinistrals, and there was a sticker on the label, so I was trying really hard to peel it off carefully, and I got just to the very end, and the very last part of it stuck to part of the label and tore the label.
Oh.
Yeah, I was super mad about that. It's like to the point where I thought about going online and getting myself another copy that didn't have a ripped label. I don't like ripped stickers.
A little anal retentive there, aren't you?
Little bit.
Is this in general just for retro games in general, or when you go out and buy a new game?
Well, when I buy a new game, it doesn't have stuff on it.
Hopefully it shouldn't smell like smoke.
Yeah. I usually don't buy it if it stinks, though. Like, if you pick it up and you can just smell the smoke, like, I don't want this.
Yeah, I also look for the tar color, too, if it's yellow at all.
Oh, yeah, that's been in a good home.
Oof.
All right. You guys have any closing thoughts, comments, insight?
I feel like Kev should be on the show more often.
He's welcome to.
You know, he's been on the show more times than our other founder, Ben Schrader.
Ben was integral. He was the inspiration for the name of the show, and he has yet to be on it.
And didn't he message you on Facebook or something? Because I'm a big creep and saw that.
He's like, I want to join.
Yeah, it's like, can I play? I'm like, you're welcome to come whenever you want. Nothing.
You know those like 5 weeks when we tried to get you on? Yeah, I remember those.
I think our first episode consisted of a voicemail to him.
Like right. Five.
Jeez.
Should I do it again right now? Kid. Should I call him on speaker?
We'll just let him listen to us.
So what happened to the other guy who was on?
Christian.
He had a baby.
Yeah, his wife had a baby.
His wife did, I guess.
Dad responsibilities.
That's why kids are stupid.
Yeah. Kids are dumb. So, do we have any personal suggestions for games next week? We're going to play a little bit more of The Legend of Zelda. I think I'm going to give Seventh Saga a shot just to see how shitty it still is. And then
someone mentioned Alundra as well.
That we're going to have to save for a while because that one's pretty personal for me. I like that game an awful lot, and that's going to be like a 3-week show because that game's really long, and I have a lot to say about it. Because
shocker,
that game's a lot like Zelda games. I think I was looking at some of my game saves, and I have like 30 hours into it, and I'm not done. So it's pretty big. Kev, do you have any suggestions for us?
Not that I think anybody could actually find it, but Dune for the Sega Genesis.
I have a copy of it. I actually have a physical cartridge of it.
Wow. Yeah, it was like the first ever RTS game I ever played.
I love that game. Okay, I'm going to play Dune. Love it. All right. Well, unless you guys have anything else, that's gonna do it for the show this week. We're getting progressively longer. I like it. Kev, you're more than welcome to be on whenever you want. Don't feel obligated, but it was a pleasure.
It's good to feel welcome.
Yeah, it's nice to
it's
meet
good
you,
to have
Kevin.
Another Canadian.
It's good to be on a show where you're not going to get screamed at.
We're so mature.
Good for us.
That eats.
We like us. All right. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, game suggestions, factorysealed@manatank.com. We'll try to read them, hopefully. That's going to do it for the show this week. Unless you guys have anything else you want to say. Aaron's going to go pass out in a drug-induced coma. Jess is going to get back to planning her symposium, and Kev's going back to bed.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's about right for the evening.
That's right.
We have to deal with all the snow we're getting, too. Oh, my
God.
You're
getting hit pretty hard, aren't you?
Call the army again?
I'm going to go outside in my athletic shorts and pet my palm tree just to rub it in.
And have fun with that.
I hate you.
All right. We'll be back here next week. Till then, bye-bye.
Bye.
You guys don't rock the Twitter handles, huh?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We should probably do the Twitter handles. You can find... Thanks for reminding me. You can find me...
I almost hit stop, too. We would have been in trouble.
I actually clicked stop, and I'm not sure if it's still going to record or not, but here we go. You can find me at Honest Pizza.
And you can find Eric at Honest Pizza if he's not stopped. You can find me at Quilted Tunic.
I'm at Jessam Clarkson.
Find me at Dinner Dangles.
All right. That's going to do it for the show.